Let us turn again to the part of God's word that we read in Jeremiah chapter 29. We shall read from verse 11 to verse 14. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. And it is especially verse 13 that we would seek the Lord's help to consider this Sabbath morning. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. The word of God requires us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We are to seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. And the promise is certain and infallible. Those who seek will find. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. When we feel our lost condition, when we feel God is far away from us, the appropriate exercise of soul is that of seeking. And when the guilt and power of sin troubles us, and we can find no relief, our response should be to seek the Lord and forgiveness through his blood. When we feel dark and cast off, God encourages us to seek him, because he is nearer than we think. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And in every condition, we are to seek the Lord. We are to be those who are seeking God. The people of Judah and Jerusalem at this time saw themselves in a situation in which they were longing for deliverance. They were in captivity. And Jeremiah shows them how God will help them. If they will seek him with their whole heart, they would find him, and he would restore them to their land. Well, friends, we are by nature in spiritual bondage, and we may also feel bound in our experience, whatever our state is. But the way of deliverance is by seeking the Lord. And he assures us in his word, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And with the Lord's help this morning, we will consider, first of all, the time of captivity, secondly, the need of seeking, and thirdly, the promise of finding. The time of captivity, the need of seeking, and the promise of finding. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. First, the time of captivity. Now, the carrying away of the Jews into captivity in Babylon took place in stages. And Jeremiah wrote a letter to the people who were already in exile in Babylon. Jeremiah was in Jerusalem or in Judah, and he wrote a letter to the Jews who were carried away into captivity in Babylon. And he writes to console them, that they would not despair of hope. But he also writes to warn them of a false hope. And he writes to give instruction to them while they were still there. So he writes a letter to the people of the Jews who were in Babylon, even at this present time. And in verse 4, we read, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. He is cautioning them not to expect a swift return to Jerusalem. Instead, verse 5, they were to build houses and dwell in them and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. He says, take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. So, of course, the church was the people of Jerusalem and the Jews at this time. That was the visible church in these days. And he is saying that the church, though in captivity, must not begin to shrink for all that. They must go about their normal business, their daily lives. They must carry on and increase in number. And this was in opposition to the false prophets, who were telling them they can go back to Jerusalem very soon. No, God is saying they will remain in Babylon for a period of time, and they were to carry on with their lives, and they were to seek the peace of the city where they were carried away captives. Verse 7. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. And so this is a lesson for us. We may not agree with all that the government does, but one thing we are certain of is that it is our duty to pray for them. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 2, Paul, by inspiration, is saying, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We're to seek the peace of the nation, that we might have peace in our own families. And we're to be thankful. Be thankful that there is a measure of order through the enforcement of law. And though we sometimes find even these to be our enemies, we are still to love them. Jesus tells us, but I say unto you, love your enemies, and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Of course, friends, we do have, no doubt, much to learn in our own situation. The people of the Jews, they would learn very much in their captivity. And we have much to learn in our isolation. And I trust we're seeking the Lord that we would be taught in these few weeks. We need to learn patience and submission and self-denial and the need of prayer. And surely our present circumstances are making us go to God for light, for wisdom, and for strength. And the people are warned that they would go to God and not rely upon the false prophets. In verse 8 of our chapter, we read the warning. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. There were false prophets among the people of the Jews who were already in exile in Babylon, and these prophets were induced by the people to give them messages that they desired to hear. Though the dreams were from the false prophets, it was yet the people who influenced them. Just like when Aaron made the golden calf, he was encouraged to do so by the people's telling him to do so. And so God is saying that the dreams were caused by the people themselves. And this surely is a warning against preachers today who may make their sermons appealing to the people by telling them what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear, even about sin and judgment to come. preaching a false peace. And we need to hear the truth. We need to hear of the danger that our souls are in because of sin, so that we might look out for a way of escape. And that is the only way of escape through Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. The prophets that were among the people of the Jews in Babylon were prophesying falsely. Verse 9, "For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord." They were saying that they would be able to go back to Jerusalem. But God is telling them, don't listen to them, because they are telling you a falsehood. The truth of the matter is that they would be in Babylon for 70 years. After 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, verse 10, "I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." So after a time, he would give deliverance and liberty to his people, and they needed to be patient and wait for this fulfillment. It was a good word because it was God's word, a sure word to them. God's promise would be fulfilled, and he would restore them after 70 years. And he says in verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You see, God knew what he would do. The prophets, the false prophets, did not know. They did not know God's thoughts. But God knew what his own thoughts were, and it was a promise to restore his people in his own time. And so the people are taught not to deceive themselves with false comforts. It is indeed quite amazing to see human nature when people come up with their own solutions and devices, and they think they have solved their own problems, and they are filled with excitement, and they are sure of success. It's as if they are intoxicated with their false hopes, as these people were, the Jews were, intoxicated with their false dreams. But they needed patience to wait God's time for deliverance. And so the people are warned against presumption, presuming. And indeed, they were so presumptuous at first when they even ridiculed and no doubt laughed at Jeremiah's prophecies of the destruction of Jerusalem. They did not listen to the warnings. And they were so presumptuous, but now they are liable to sinking in despair. And so, while they must not presume, they must not despair either. God is holding out hope to them. And God assures them that he knows his own thoughts towards them, and that is thoughts of peace. There is hope. God is telling them to seek him. "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." So here are the Jews. They're in captivity. They're far from home, far from comfort. How they long for peace. They wish to get out of their present situation. They could not bear this condition any longer. They wanted immediate relief. Does this describe you? Well, it may describe the believer or the awakened and yet unconverted person. And first, think about the unconverted in captivity, spiritual bondage. They are those who have some sense of their lost and ruined condition. They're awakened to see the reality of their sin and misery. The law of God has become real to them. They're seeing more of the law's demands. They recognize more than before how far short they come. The law is not dealing only with outward sins, but the law takes to do with their inward state and condition. The law has jurisdiction over our emotions, our attitudes, and our thoughts and our purposes. And this is what an awakened sinner is beginning to see more than before. As Paul the Apostle said, speaking of his own state before he was saved, that the commandment came. That is, the law of God became real to him. It came into his inward experience. He was more conscious of it than ever before. The commandment came. And he says, sin revived and I died. He saw himself a sinner. He saw himself deserving God's wrath and curse. He was now in spiritual bondage. And so the awakened sinner is now concerned for the soul's safety. They are terrified about eternal judgment. They are now feeling miserable. They are feeling lonely and isolated spiritually. This is a legal captivity. The law is oppressing them. The law is saying to them, pay me what you owe. And what we owe is a debt of obedience and suffering. We deserve to pay for our sins with eternal punishment. So here is a feeling of bondage, being oppressed and feeling dark and even despairing, feeling that there's no way out. And you look at others in this situation. If you're in this situation, you look at others and you say, oh, they're happy. They're happy in their sins. But no, I cannot go along with that because my conscience speaks too loudly against going on in a way of sin. And then you might see others who are happy in the Lord. And you feel, well, I cannot go along with them because I'm in bondage. And I have not found Christ. And I have no comfort and no joy. And the law is working wrath. And there is no peace because of fear of God's anger. And there is no light because sin separates us from God, who is all light. And so the awakened sinner feels a spiritual outcast, as if they were on a deserted island, banished from the land of peace and prosperity. And there's no comfort. Do you feel like that? How few there are that really do feel like this. So many are happy in their sins and they revel in their sinful friendships, and others are just dull and numb to spiritual things, and they're carnally secure and they don't feel that God is angry at all with them for their sins, and they are dead to these things. But what about you? Are you saying, I'm a spiritual captive? I feel a castaway in the land of spiritual exile. Is there any hope for me? Can you give me a word that may be the lifesaver to give me hope? Yes, friend, I can. And the answer is, seek the Lord, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Now, believers also may sometimes feel far from God in the land of isolation, spiritual bondage, and it may be the result of backsliding. They may have fallen into sin, or it may be because God is trying his people, and the Lord's people sometimes are simply, because God is testing them, walking in darkness and have no light. But in both cases, they feel God is absent from them. And they're also seeing the effects of sin. And that's what we need to be exercised with, seeing the fruit of sin, that it is an evil and bitter thing to forsake the Lord. And the child of God will be quick to blame himself and nobody else. We're not going to blame circumstances. We're not going to blame the temptation, but our own sinful hearts, our own lack of watchfulness. Yes, we're to confess our sin. And so the child of God is in spiritual captivity, feeling no peace for a time, feeling no comfort, feeling far off from God. And it is not a pleasant experience. It is, in fact, a painful experience. And it is even unbearable to the child of God. And how earnestly the child of God desires to be delivered from this spiritual captivity. And what is the solution? It is this: and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. That is Jeremiah's message to the people of God. This is God's word. It is God's word to us. So the people were in exile. They longed for a way out. They desired comfort and relief. They wanted peace and happiness. And God is telling them how they may obtain it. That peace they desire is in God. And if they will seek him, they will find him, and they will have peace. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And so in the second place, we come to the need of seeking. Then shall ye call upon me, verse 12, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you. The need of seeking. We need to seek the Lord. We need to seek him, his face and favor free. The Jews were in a foreign land, and God tells them, then shall ye call upon me. In that foreign land, in that captivity. Now, they would seek the Lord then. We must not think to ourselves, well, when I get out of this terrible situation, then I'll seek the Lord. No. If we're in spiritual bondage, if we're in a sunken condition in our experience, that is when we should seek the Lord. We should seek the Lord always. And especially the call is urgent to us to seek the Lord when we are in such a terrible state, that we might not perish, that we might be delivered, that we might be delivered from this condition of spiritual bondage. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. It was then that they would begin to seek the Lord, and God knew that they would, because God would give them grace to do so. And God had made this promise long before, in ancient times, through Moses. And we find that in Deuteronomy chapter 4. If the people would rebel against God and make a graven image and worship it, then God threatens to drive them into other lands. Verse 27, and the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And he would drive them out of their own land into a foreign land, and they would be reduced even to serving other gods. But if they would, in their captivity, seek the Lord, they would then get help from him. And that is God's promise, and he made this promise long ago through Moses. And so Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. But if from thence, that is the foreign land, thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That is their duty. That is the way they may expect deliverance, by seeking the Lord and searching for him and doing so with all their heart. Then shall ye call upon me. Back to our text, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 12. The verse before our text is verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. They would call upon the Lord in their captivity. They would cry to him because he alone can help them. The false prophets were all wrong. They did not go back to Jerusalem in such a swift time as they wished. But they are now finding that the word of God is true. They are now recognizing their sinful condition, that they had brought all of this upon themselves through their sin and rebellion and idolatry. They know that God is true to his word. And they are seeing that their only way of escape is by seeking the Lord. And ye shall go, we read. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me. They would go to the temple. when the temple would be rebuilt, they would go to the means of grace. They would be diligent, and they would continue in that course. They would go, and they would keep going on in the way of seeking. Now, friends, does that describe you? Can it be said of you, they shall go and pray unto me? Are you going on seeking the Lord? Or after one or two prayers, you just give up and say, that's enough? No, friends, it is not by giving up that you will find. It's by going on praying and seeking the Lord. And we should be like Jacob, who said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Pray unto me, he says, ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. What is prayer? Praying is offering up to God our desires to him for things that are agreeable to his will. It is to pray out of a sense of need. It is desire because we feel our need of the Lord's blessings. And so, friends, we should ask ourselves, do we desire the Lord and his grace? Do we desire the Lord to hear our prayers? Or do we simply go through the outward exercise of prayer? True prayer is offering up desires to God for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. So do we desire God? Do we desire to seek him? And do we desire to seek him so as to find him? And this is what God is calling us to. This is what we so greatly need, and that is to seek the Lord. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Seek me. The root of the word is that a person's earnest seeking of something with the intention that its object be found or acquired. So the intention of seeking, it is seeking with care, seeking with a purpose, seeking in order to find, seeking in order to obtain. And so if you are looking for something, if you're seeking something, looking for something, you know what it is, but you don't know where it is, and you're trying to find it. You know what it is, you don't have it, but you want to have it. That is seeking. Seeking with a purpose, and that is to find the Lord and his blessing. Friend, that is seeking. And it includes searching. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. It's as if he repeats the call to seek. Seek and search. It is seeking and seeking. Yes, both words can be translated seeking. And there are different connotations with each word, of course. The one is seeking with the intention of finding. And this word, to search, is it has the idea of treading or stepping. So seeking involves coming toward. And friends, we must come to God. That is what God requires of us. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Coming to him. And it is interesting to consider in Isaiah chapter 55, where we read, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. That call, those words, are followed by the other call, which is, and let him return unto the Lord. So really, seeking involves repentance. It is to seek with care. There is carefulness and concern to obtain what one is seeking. So again, I ask, do you desire what you claim you are seeking? If you are seeking Christ, do you desire Christ? Do you desire to have Christ? So the word search here involves also the idea of inquiring. We are seeking and searching in order to discover. It involves seeking and knowing, seeking the object of knowledge, and that is to know God. And it is to inquire of God. It is to know His will. Like Rebecca, when she was expecting, she did not know it was twins, it seems, but she found, perhaps she did know they were twins, but anyway, she was finding that her children were struggling together within her. They were struggling. And she says, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And we read that she went to inquire of the Lord. She was searching, she was seeking with a desire to know the answer. And that is what we need. Are we, friends, asking from the heart with sincerity, "What must I do to be saved? What is required?" Do we desire to know the Lord? Are we asking, "What must I do to be saved? How can I be saved?" Well, Jesus tells us, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Are you searching for Christ, that you might know Him, that you might know the Lord? So, friends, this seeking and searching, it involves mental activity. It involves using our understanding to search. And we should search our hearts. We should examine ourselves. If we're really seeking, why am I not finding? God says, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me." And so we should ask ourselves, am I seeking in the appointed way? Am I using the means of grace? Am I pleading the promises? Am I seeking repentance? Am I endeavoring to look to Christ Himself? Searching for the Lord involves searching for the abominable thing. What really is standing in the way of my search? If there is some obstacle that I that is preventing me from seeking the Lord, am I endeavoring to have that obstacle removed? For example, are there idols that are set up in my heart that prevent me from seeking the Lord? Or that prevent me from getting an answer from the Lord? Remember, the elders of Israel came to Ezekiel and they inquired of the Lord, but God says to Ezekiel, He will not hear those elders. Why? Because they were setting up idols in their hearts. Now, friends, how will God hear our prayers if other things are more important to us than God? That is what idolatry is. We are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And if other things are standing up more prominent in our experience, in our hearts, God will not hear our prayers when we claim to pray to Him. And so, are there things standing in the way of our seeking the Lord? We should examine ourselves, reflect upon our hearts and attitudes. Is there discontentment that is standing in the way? Pride? Are we not willing to humble ourselves and acknowledge our wrongdoing before God? Is there a sinful practice that stands in the way? When we know that there are certain things which are wrong and we're just holding on to them, not willing to let go, even while we claim to be seeking the Lord, well then, it is no wonder that we're not finding the Lord. So, friend, we're to seek with the intention of finding, which involves thinking about why we are not finding and searching with the intention that we would obtain, which means that we are to diligently use the means of grace. Now, pause a moment and remember that very helpful question of the Shorter Catechism. What is required? What doth God require of us that we may escape the wrath and curse of God due to us for sin? The answer is, to escape the wrath and curse of God due to us for sin, God requireth of us faith in Jesus Christ, repentance unto life, with the diligent use of all the outward means whereby Christ communicateth to us the benefits of redemption. So, if we desire to be saved, God requires of us faith, repentance, and diligence in the use of the means of grace. And seeking the Lord is not only prayer and desire, although that it includes that, but it involves diligence, inquiry, using the means of grace diligently to go to the ordinances that God has appointed through which he reveals himself, through which he communicates grace. If we desire grace, if we don't, what are we seeking for? If we're seeking grace, then we will go to the places and use the means that God has appointed to give us grace. Or else we're not sincere in seeking him. We are to go and pray unto me, he says. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me in the scriptures, studying the instructions of God's word, pleading the promises of God's word. Jesus said to the Jews, ye do search the scriptures. Are we searching the scriptures? Well, God says, ye shall search for me. And where is God to be found but in his word? That's where he reveals himself, in the word, in the ordinances, in the means of grace. Are we making use of all the means of grace that are available to us? Studying the word, hearing the preaching, praying earnestly, singing God's praises, having spiritual conversation with God's people. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me. But then he says, with all your heart. Think of that. What does that mean? All your heart. Well, it means what it says. It is not just with half the heart. It is not with a divided heart. It is with all the heart. You see, the people of the Jews were in pain. They were suffering. They were miserable. They were isolated. They were banished. And so they were, no doubt, they were inevitably beginning to cry out to God in their pain. But you see, it was only for that reason. It was just, they were just seeking relief from discomfort, from misery, and from pain. They were not calling upon God out of a sense of spiritual need. And that is what people do today. They will cry out in their miseries, and we should. We should cry to God in our miseries, but we should cry to God not just because of our miseries. People need help from pain, and so they cry to God. But friends, it is not just help from pain that we need God, but we need help because of the cause of pain. And what is that? It is sin. If we desire only relief from suffering and not from sin, we're not seeking the Lord with all our heart. That's not true seeking. It's not all our heart. It's a divided heart, because we have our hearts set on something else besides God. We desire to get help, but we also hold on to our sins at the same time. That is not true seeking. We must seek the Lord with all our heart. Now, seeking God with all our heart does not mean that we are then sinless. It doesn't mean the absolute perfect heart. There is no such thing on earth. The Word of God tells us that there is not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned, even the Lord's people are still sinners. But the question is, do we hate sin? The question is, are we praying to hate sin? Do we sincerely desire to hate sin? So the whole heart or all the heart doesn't mean that the person praying doesn't ever have wandering thoughts. Doesn't mean that there's no battle with sin. It doesn't mean that we will never be struggling with our evil hearts. No, of course not. But what the whole heart and all the heart means is that there is a single heart. It is not a double heart. It is so searching the Lord with all our hearts involves a contrast to the double heart, and that is a heart that is still set on sin, still quite content to have sin remaining in the heart. And you see, the whole heart desires God's blessings in God's way. The whole heart desires God's help in his own way. And what is that? It is salvation from misery and from sin, and both the punishment of sin and the power of sin. Do you desire that? Do you desire to be saved not only from the punishment, but the power of sin? In other words, if we're seeking the Lord with all our heart, we have no secret reserve for sin. We're not saying, I hope God will rescue me, but that he will overlook my sinful practices. No, no. We are not saying, I want God to save me from all my sin, but not just yet. Only just get me out of this horrible situation. No, no. God will never hear a prayer like that. But he will hear you when you seek with all your heart, when you are seeking the Lord for complete deliverance and not just a partial deliverance. Then you will find him. When you're no longer praying just for salvation from the punishment of sin, but you are now asking sincerely for salvation from the power of sin also. That is with all the heart. And then you will find him. When you're praying that God would save you from the punishment of sin and the power of sin, and that sin would not rule over you, but that you would be given grace to turn from sin, then the Lord will hear you. And when you're seeking a whole Christ, think of it, put it that way. Seeking the Lord with all the heart, seeking the Lord with a whole heart, seeking a whole Christ. That is, the Savior in all of his offices, in every aspect of his mediation. So, not content that Christ would save you just from the guilt of sin as a priest, but you desire Christ to save you from the power of sin as a king, and you desire him to save you and teach you as well as rule over you, that Christ would be your prophet to teach you, your priest to save you, and your king to rule over you. Do you desire Christ to be your master, to be your leader? Do you? Children, you need Christ to teach you. You need Christ to save you. You need Christ to lead you, that he would be your commander and your leader throughout your whole life. And perhaps a poor soul is saying, well, that's just it. I don't feel willing to be ruled by Christ. Ah, now you're honest. And if you find that is what's keeping you from finding, then you need to pray earnestly to the Lord to make you willing. Oh, friend, indeed, pray for that willingness, that he would give you the desire to seek him with your whole heart, that you would be made willing in a day of his power. So here is God's promise. He shall seek me and find me when he shall search for me with all your heart. It's when the heart is set upon seeking the Lord. The whole heart is a heart that purposes to seek the Lord, and that whatever interferes, whatever it is that interferes with this seeking, the heart is set against it. We are to oppose it, and if it is sin, we mourn over it. Yes, we desire to get rid of the abominable thing, and we are seeking God in God's way. You see, seeking with all the heart is not apart from the way God appointed. No, it is to ask for blessing in the name of Christ. Seeking involves praying. It is not only praying, but it involves praying. It is acceptable prayer, which is only in the name of Christ, and drawing encouragement from Christ and his mediation, that God would hear our prayers for the sake of Christ and what he has done for sinners, namely that he was crucified, that he died on the cross to reconcile sinners to God. And that is the ground of our hope. That is the basis upon which we expect God to hear our prayers, because of Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, it's not because I deserve it. I know I don't deserve the blessing of God. I am just a poor sinner and nothing at all. But I am praying for forgiveness by the blood of Jesus. I am praying for grace because of what Christ has done for sinners and because of his finished work at Calvary. Only for the sake of Christ. Well, friends, does this describe us? Does this praying, going and praying, and seeking and searching with all our heart, does it apply to us? Does it describe us? It should be us. It is our duty. And the question right now is, have we experienced this? Like Daniel. Daniel in the Bible, he was seeking the Lord, very concerned about his condition. He was in a land of captivity in Babylon. And he was searching the scriptures. And he understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Daniel chapter 9 and now verse 3. And he says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." Here, friends, is diligence. Here is prayer. Here is seeking the Lord. And did the Lord hear his prayer? Well, we also read that he was confessing his sin. Verse 5, "We have sinned and committed iniquity and have done wickedly." And when we think about our current situation, and we may be longing to get over all of this, and some people are congratulating the government for such a well-done performance in eliminating, as it may appear, the virus and so on. But what about confessing our sin as a nation and repenting? Or else we have nothing to expect but further judgments from God. God is warning the people. We need to take heed to the warning, and we need to confess our sins. We have sinned and committed iniquity and done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets which spake in thy name to our kings," and so on. Yes, the governors, the prime ministers of the earth, the kings and queens, they are all being exhorted to repent, but they appear not to hearken. But here is Daniel, and this is what this should be our example to follow. He is praying, "O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee." He says, "O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face. To the Lord our God belong mercies," and this is what he is pleading, "and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him." And that is the only way we can expect God's blessing, is through the mercy of the Lord in Christ. And if we are seeking this way, in God's appointed way, if we are seeking with the intention of finding, searching for the Lord, diligently using the means of grace, and with the whole heart in the name of Christ, and trusting in his blood and righteousness, then we have the answer. God gives us the assurance. He promises, "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." So in the third place, the promise of finding. What an amazing thing that God promises to listen to poor creatures of the dust. He says, verse 12, "Then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. I will listen to you." Think of that God would hear the prisoner's mourning groan, that he would show that he is so ready to come to us when we call him, that he will that he will hear us, that he will come to our aid. Just as we find in Isaiah 58 that those who are seeking to obey God, he promises in chapter 58, verse 9, "Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am." Friends, that is what we are to be doing to the Lord. When he calls us, we are to say, "Here I am, Lord." But think of it. God is saying to us, when we pray to him, when we call upon him, when we seek him with our whole heart, he will hearken to us. "When thou shalt cry, he shall say, Here I am." God will come to us. He will appear to us. He will reveal himself to us. "And I will be found of you," he says, saith the Lord. "I will be found of you." And see how he repeats this assurance. He doubles this promise. He says, first of all, that when we pray to him, he will hearken to us. And then he says, "When ye seek me, you will find me." So he will hear our prayers, and he will cause himself to be found. The promise is doubled. How certain it is. How this should encourage us to seek the Lord. And indeed, how needful this repetition is, because we're so slow to believe. Will the Lord really hear me when I pray to him? Will he really reveal himself to me when I seek him? The answer is yes, doubly yes. He will hear you. You will find him. And he says, "I will turn away your captivity." Think of that. Friends, there are no ifs. There are no maybes. God hears prayer. You will find him, and he will restore you. Just as he did when Daniel was praying, and we read that the angel Gabriel appeared to him. God sent him. He says to Daniel, verse 23 of chapter 9, "At the beginning of thy supplications the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved." So even before we've stopped praying, the Lord will hear our prayers. If we are seeking him and searching for him with all our heart, and he will give us that longed for joy and peace, because God reveals himself in a saving way to those who seek him. They will taste and see that God is good. Who trusts in him is blessed. That's when he grants his favor. Now, that's when he fulfills his promise, knowing the thoughts of peace that he has to them. They are all revealed already in a sense, because he offers these gracious blessings to them, which he has thought of, so to speak, so he has purposed from eternity. These thoughts are revealed in the gospel. And when the Lord, and when people seek him, when they by grace believe on him, he fulfills these thoughts to them. He causes them to experience these gracious thoughts in their souls. "I know the thoughts that I think toward you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil." You see, unbelief will say, "It's all evil. All I can expect is trouble and misery." But faith lays hold of the promise. God himself says that they are thoughts of peace and not of evil to everyone who will believe. Everyone who received the promise that is offered of blessing and forgiveness. So he says, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. You will be given peace and joy." Just as we read in Isaiah 58, verse 8, "For those who are seeking God," and that is, of course, seeking God's ways as well, "then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily." Yes, the Lord promises to give blessing, even the favor of God. As we read in the book of Job, "His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth." The Lord's people know that from experience. When they have gone for a long time in felt darkness and spiritual bondage, and they feel that God is far away from them, God is hiding his face from them. They feel their comforts are being dried up and their spiritual moisture is gone and they have no strength. They feel that they are shriveling up like a plant that is being scorched by the sun and there's no life in them. Ah, when you seek the Lord and he reveals himself to you, all is well. Returning to the days of spiritual youth. Oh, what a blessed experience. And don't let unbelief tell you, don't let Satan say to you that it's not true. It is true. It is the word of God. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Yes, you will be delivered from that spiritual captivity, and it will be like them that dreamed. Yes, our mouths will be filled with laughter, because the Lord restores us again, turning back our bondage, reversing it, and bringing us to spiritual joy again. And what may be said for God's people in their spiritual bondage may be for those who are unassured of their salvation. They are seeking the Lord. They have these exercises in a measure. They are seeking to be delivered not just from the guilt of sin, but the power of sin. They desire Christ, but they're unassured of salvation. Well, they are being assured here that if you seek the Lord with your whole heart, you will find him. And God will reveal himself to you. Christ will be more precious to you. He will be your joy forever. And it will be joy unspeakable and full of glory. And God is telling everyone, whatever your condition, if you seek him, you will find him. You seek him as the pearl of great price, he will be to you the pearl of great price. You will know what David experienced when he said, I sought the Lord, he heard me, and delivered me from all my distresses. So friends, ignore the lies of the devil, and see the beauties of Christ and the comforts of the gospel which he gives, and seek the Lord. Seek him, seek his favor, seek his strength evermore. Lay hold of his word. He tells you in his gospel, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Friend, it's there for the taking. And God and his grace and blessedness in him is nearer than we think. Come to Jesus. Come and welcome to Jesus Christ. This man receiveth sinners. May he bless his word. Let us pray. Gracious God, bless to us thy holy word. Teach us, Lord, by thy Spirit, not only to understand in our minds, but to feel in our hearts, that we would experience in our souls thy wonderful truth, the blessedness of the man who knows the Lord, whose sins are forgiven, who receives grace to turn from sin, who desires that peace that is in God's way. That is, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. What reason we have to lay hold upon the words of truth, to lay hold of Christ revealed in the word, to embrace the ways of the Lord, and to cleave to the Lord with purpose of heart. Oh, what encouragement there is. A great reward is to those who love thy ways and thy commandments. Be with us now. Help us to keep thy day holy. May we be encouraged to seek, to search with all our heart, and we will find thee. Forgive our sins for Christ's sake. Amen. We shall conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 106, reading from verse 41. He gave them to the heathen's hand, their foes did them command, their enemies them oppressed, they were made subject to their hand. He many times delivered them, but with their counsel so they him provoked, that for their sin they were brought very low. Yet their affliction he beheld, when he did hear their cry, and he for them his covenant did call to memory. After his mercy's multitude he did repent, and made them to be pitied of all those who did them captive lead. O Lord our God, us save and gather the heathen from among, that we thy holy name may praise in a triumphant song. Blessed be Jehovah, Israel's God, to all eternity. Let all the people say, Amen. Praise to the Lord. Give ye. Psalm 106, from verse 41 to the end. He gave them to the heathen's hand.
He gave them to the heathen's hand.
Let us conclude. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.